Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today I'm talking about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. If you're unfamiliar with this film, I understand it's not the most widely available movie. It's out there, you know, you can watch it on. As of this moment, I've seen it on Netflix, and there is digital releases of it. There is a physical copy of it, but you have to go through A24 to get it. It's an A24 movie, but it's different from their typical stuff. It's really different from the kind of stuff that they normally do, and it's kind of different from what I normally do here, because it is an animated feature, but there is a lot more live action in it than you would expect. Honestly, when it was nominated for Best Animated Film, I was kind of surprised, just because, like, while I did acknowledge what about it is animated, the main character and any of the characters like Marcel, the settings, the people, everything is in a real world. But hey, it's still animated, so it counts. So yeah, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. This is based on a series of shorts that were done about a decade or so back. Same creative team. I know that these were done by the actress Jenny Slate. She basically does a voice very different from her usual, which to me just kind of signifies, like, why the real issue when it comes to celebrity voice casting is less the celebrity and more whether or not the people doing the voices are allowing them to do different voices. If they even want to do different voices. But, you know, the common thing when it comes to the whole celebrity voice casting thing is, like, oh, you know, these actors can't voice act. And a lot of these big name celebrities, you know, have experience voice acting because they started out voice acting. Yeah, maybe they're not professionals about it, but that doesn't mean that they don't have any experience or that they don't know how to voice act. And yeah, look, I'll be upfront and saying, like, yeah, I want more voice actors in the industry, and I want more voice actors to get recognized in bigger films. I still think it's cool that the Sonic movies decided that for Tails, they would just get the actress who normally plays Tails for the cartoons and games. But to keep it on this, you know, you look at Jenny Slate's performance as Marcel versus a lot of Jenny Slate performances and other stuff. And not that she does necessarily bad voiceover performances and other stuff, but when you look at, like, the Illumination movies that she's in, Lego Batman, Zootopia, you know, she's pretty much doing her voice versus Marcel, where it's like it's a noticeably different voice. And I feel that comes from the fact that she has more control over Marcel than she does with those other projects. One of the things that I've learned when it comes to a lot of these, you know, celebrity voice acting performances is that oftentimes the reason why you'll hear a celebrity just talk like themselves is because the people making it are pretty much like, well, we hired you for your voice. We don't want you doing a different kind of voice. And if they do allow them to do different voices, it's because they were willing to listen to them do a different voice. But yeah, because I remember, like, for example, with Detective Pikachu, Ryan Reynolds mentioned that he wanted to give Pikachu more of a, like, an old school detective, like, noir kind of voice. But they were pretty much like, no, we want you to be Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu. So that was the whole basis of that. And that's kind of where I feel like, okay, yeah, you know, again, you know, I do want more professional voice actors and things, but I do feel people ignore the real issue when it comes to that whole thing, and they tend to overblow it and basically are like, oh, you know, we don't like celebrities and celebrities can't do a good job, when it's really like, well, there's a variety of factors. I don't think it's entirely that celebrities can't voice act so much as, like, okay, we want you to do this and we're only going to give you this many attempts to do it because you have your schedule and whatnot, and that's how it works out. Because a lot of it also comes down to just, like, the direction, and not to throw, like, voice acting directors, you know, under the bus, but you do notice, like in some of the straight to video, like the really cheap knockoff kind of movies, and when they do have, like, actual voice actors, sometimes even the voice actors are really bad at it, and it's because, like, well, you know, if the voice director isn't doing a good job, what hope do they have? But that's a whole other thing. But I'm bringing this up mainly because with Marcel Duchamp, a big part of the charm of the movie comes down to Jenny Slate's voice. She won an award for this. I don't know if it was, like, through multiple places, because the only place I know was the Annies. There's not a whole lot of places that award people based on voice acting, but I know she won an award for her performance, and it's well deserved. It is a really good performance, not just because, you know, she's doing a funny voice, but because she has to carry this entire movie based on, you know, what she's saying, because a lot of the charm is pretty much just her character Marcel being this naive little shell. She's supposed to be like a little boy in this, just reacting, questioning things, and just naively, you know, looking at the world and, you know, saying things to it. And it is a very cute and charming thing. At times, I do feel like it's a little flabby, not to the point where it gets boring or anything like that, but to a point where I feel like they probably could have trimmed this stuff. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, you just appreciate a movie like this existing, where you can tolerate, like, okay, you know, yeah, you maybe didn't need to be as long as you got, but at the same time, there's so much charm to the character, and there's so much you'd lose if you just tacked it up and made it more, I guess you want, I want to say streamlined, like something pretty much where they, like, they speed through the entire story. I wouldn't want that. You know, too many movies pretty much focus on, like, okay, let's cut off exactly to what we need, and I get it, I would prefer it that way, until I start realizing, like, well, sometimes the most beautiful scenes in movies are the stuff that is unnecessary. Sometimes it's nice to just have stuff like that kind of fill out a movie, not because you need something to, you know, hit that 90-minute mark, but sometimes it's just nice to see how people approach telling stories. You give it to the bare minimum, and yeah, it maybe gets the story done, but sometimes it just loses the emotional weight of things, which is why I don't really have a problem here. And I've, you know, as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate, this is probably the worst term to put it on, but I like to call it, like, you know, like flabby movies, like, you know, pretty much movies where they have, like, a bunch of scenes where it's like, well, you know, you could have probably cut a few of these down, but at the same time, it's a short movie as it is, so, you know, just let it come in, give me some vibes, it's all good. But this movie has a lot of that, and the other reason why I guess I can't really complain too much is that it is a documentary style movie. The movie pretty much is being recorded by this guy, because like the whole premise is pretty much like, okay, here's a house, it's pretty much an Airbnb, so people have rotated on staying on there, and Marcel is there practically alone at this point. He only has his grandmother there, and you know, it's explained throughout the course of the movie that he actually had a whole community of shells there, like, you know, family, friends, all that stuff, but they've all disappeared after, at that point, like a few years back, pretty much a couple that had been staying there got into an argument, and accidentally one of them took off with the whole group of them, and that was the general thing, and pretty much the person who's staying there currently, who's there for a while until he gets settled, is a guy named Dean. Pretty much is like the first person to actually acknowledge their existence, so he starts recording them. And I like the fact that the movie already starts with him already recording them. It's not like, oh, let's, you know, have this whole setup of him finding them and being all confused by it. It's like, no, he's already recording them, because this movie is supposed to feel like a documentary, but at the same time, it also feels like almost like a home video, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, like, they do go through the whole thing of, like, okay, he puts some of the videos up, it gets popular online, so it's a reference to the fact that the show started off as shorts online, and it actually uses that to its advantage by creating this whole campaign of, like, okay, here's, like, a news outlet, and people are trying to figure out what's going on, while some people are just thinking it's just like this cute celebrity thing. Like, they even acknowledge the whole e-celeb status and how that affects Marcel and his grandmother, which was one of the things I do appreciate about the movie, is the fact that Marcel isn't, like, he's naive, but he's not exactly just, you know, stupid. Like, he fully acknowledges, like, okay, some of these people are, you know, a little too aggressive, and, you know, it results in him just basically, like, trying to close off, you know, some of these things, you know, to take care of the grandmother. And we'll talk a little bit about the grandmother stuff, but just suffice to say, it's really good stuff. It's funny, it's emotional. It's basically a very simple premise. It's pretty much just like, okay, here's this documentarian recording this little thing that happens to live in this place. We learn about the fact that they used to be a much bigger community, and that kind of becomes, you could say, like, the driving plot, like, okay, trying to figure out where they ended up, and then reuniting with them. You have this whole story with the grandmother, where it's pretty much like, okay, Marcel learning to grow up and accepting change in life, and the grandmother just wants him to go through that without, you know, without fear. All very cute, simple stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, the first time I saw this, back when it came out, I saw it in theaters, it hit me hard. It still hits me hard now, rewatching it, but it definitely hit me hard back then. So the thing with Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is, I mean, when I first saw the trailers, I was like, oh, okay, I vaguely remember this thing. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll give it a watch. I mean, you know, I like A24 movies. It looks like something different from them. And pretty much my initial plan was, because when I saw it, it was pretty much the same day that they started doing, like, the early showings for Nope, the Jordan Peele movie, really good movie. I was pretty much like, okay, I'll just do it as a double feature. I'll watch that, and then I'll watch Nope. And I got a surprise a couple of days prior. Like, I had already had the tickets, but, you know, I got a surprise a couple of days prior. Pretty much, I lost a family member, specifically my grandmother. And, of course, it definitely hit hard. I was pretty much like, okay, well, you know, I already have the tickets, and, you know, I do want some distraction from, you know, all this emotional turmoil. And I don't know, I guess I thought, like, okay, well, it's just going to be a cute movie. I'm sure there's going to be some emotional stuff, but nothing that's going to be too crazy. I ended up tearing up through so much of it, because a lot of it did remind me of her. And for a good chunk of the movie, it was nothing but tears. I probably never have cried harder in a theater room, whether it was with Coco or, you know, any other sad movie that you can think of. And yeah, it just hit me hard, because it's like, yeah, I mean, I did not expect this to happen, and I did not expect that this would be the movie that I'd be relating to at that moment, for a number of reasons. But I still enjoyed it, even though it was definitely a hard watch, and it was like, okay, well, I kind of don't want to watch it again. Because of that, I ended up stumbling upon it on Netflix while I was looking for what to watch. I was thinking maybe I could watch the new DreamWorks movie, Orion in the Dark. I've yet to watch it. I've heard it's supposed to be good. And I saw this pop up on the front of Netflix's page. So I was like, you know what? I think it's time to just give it a rewatch, see how I feel. And I still cry about it. I mean, it's not as hard as it was when I first saw it, where I was in the middle of a semi-packed theater. I mean, I tend to go to one that gets a little busy, and I'm, like, you know, right there having to hide my, you know, my face. Not really, but, you know, you get that feeling where it's like, oh, you know, I'm crying in the middle of a theater, and, you know, people are probably going to be questioning, you know, things, even though who cares. But it was still just an emotional experience watching it then and watching it again. While it doesn't hit as hard, it still was like, damn, I, you know, I'm back in that place. But it's still just a really satisfying movie. From an animation perspective, again, you know, a lot of this is essentially set in our world, so you kind of forget that it's animated at times until you see Marcel, you know, moving around, you know, whether it's through the character herself or just little things. Like, at times, Marcel gets around the house using a tennis ball. You know, stuff like that would have been animated. And, you know, from that perspective, it's very cute. It's very much like a, you know, much like this is a documentary home video kind of thing. The animation feels like something that would be right at home with someone who was not, I don't want to say like not like a starting to do animation, but someone who was aware of how animation works, but was doing it based on entirely on stuff that they had at home and weren't really focused on doing this something big or grand. It was just more or less like, okay, we're gonna, you know, take something we have around the house and just move it around, and, you know, this is gonna be like a fun side project, nothing too serious. But of course, it is the bulk of the movie, so it is animated a little better than what you would normally expect out of that. But for what it's worth, it is very nicely animated, and while it's definitely not the thing that you're gonna most appreciate coming out of the movie, it is something that's charming about it. Like I said, it has a very like at home video kind of vibe to it. Now, did it deserve better at the awards? The thing is, I do think that the best thing that this movie has going for it is Jenny Slate. She's really good at doing the voice, and her getting that acknowledgement was definitely worth it. I do think that the Oscars should start nominating movies based on vocal performances, and if they had it, then I do think that she definitely would have been one of the ones deserving of it that year. But in terms of just animated films in general, that was a pretty strong year, honestly. You know, its competition included Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which I've talked about on here before. Incredible movie. That's the one that I do think deserved it, and I'm glad it won. You had Puss in Boots, which, another incredible movie. I don't know, it was definitely a good movie, and it definitely deserved to be nominated, but I don't know if it's the one that I necessarily would have given it to if Pinocchio hadn't gotten it. But, you know, awards are silly, and who cares about that? What matters is whether or not I think you should watch it, and I do think you should watch it. It is, you know, just a really nice movie. Like, even if you don't have that personal connection to it, as I do, which realistically a lot of you probably do, given that you probably have those family members that you've lost, or those family members that you might be reminded of throughout the movie. Even if you don't, it's such a nice little movie, seeing the world through the eyes of this little thing that doesn't really understand everything, but at the same time is very aware of everything. Just not exactly, like, even though he doesn't know everything that's going on, he does know it's going on, if that makes sense. I don't know. It is something that is very different from the usual stuff that a lot of animation fans normally go to. But that's okay. You know, I think more people should really try expanding their palette. There's way too many people out there who only look at, you know, which is kind of the point of the show, only look at stuff like Disney or anything that's close to it, instead of dipping their toes outside and seeing what else animation has to offer. And if you're looking for something different that isn't quite the norm, but is also still family friendly, this is you all, you know, this got you. And it still has the emotional maturity for adults, which is great. You know, again, animation is a whole lot of things, and it always disappoints me when people, you know, talk about like, oh, animation is cinema, and they're the only examples that they can think of when it comes to that is like, okay, well, you know, here's the stuff that, you know, I watched as a kid, or the stuff I'm watching now that kids are watching now. It's like, and don't get me wrong, some of that stuff is great, and some of it is better than this, some of it is better than a lot of the more adult features. I'm fully aware of that. I mean, you know, I still think one of the best animated films of all time is WALL-E, which is definitely something that kids could watch, even though I imagine most kids tend to stray away from it since it's not your typical Pixar movie, but it's still something that Pixar put out that kids will watch. It's just that it's like, you know, there's a whole world of animation out there, and I'm not even talking about just going like, oh, well, you know, go watch an anime that, you know, has swears and blood and all that stuff. I'm talking about, like, just in general, just stuff that goes more into, like I said, emotional maturity, into the stuff that makes us feel for characters based on loss, stuff that has family members that are, you know, around or not around anymore, just things that make us feel or think beyond just the standard stuff that, you know, they tell kids. And again, not to diss a lot of those movies, I like them too, but there's no denying that a lot of them still have in mind, like, okay, well, we got a kid audience, so we gotta build it around them, versus something like this where I feel like, okay, a kid can watch it, but there's a high chance that the people making this weren't exactly thinking like, okay, well, how is little Timmy or little Sally gonna react to this scene or that scene? They were just like, okay, you know, we're gonna make it in a way where, you know, kids can watch, but we are gonna tell this story in a way where it's like, okay, you know, how does it most affect us? How does it most relate to us? And that's pretty much what I love about it, and why I say that, yes, you should go out of your way to watch Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. It's on Netflix. Who knows where it'll be on next? I think Max has a partnership with A24, from what I've heard, so they might be getting it at some point. I don't know. Regardless of it, you can look it up wherever it's at. It'll still be out there, and it'll still be worth it. Just be aware that you might cry hard, especially if you've recently lost someone. Thank you for listening. This has been Octaviano Macias, and I'll see you again next time.
Not that I don't like Arthur.
Not that. Come on.
No! Oh my god! No! No!
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.